We present the news quiz with your chairman, Simon Hoggart.
Hello and welcome again to the news quiz, and we start with a photo caption from the Hackney Gazette, read by Charlotte Green.
It's my best hospital stay ever, says 85-year-old Frieda Zacharak from Stamford Hill, who's recovering from a fractured leg after meeting the Queen.
Next to Mrs. B. Gray for spotting that one. Let's meet the teams now. Please welcome, first on my right, Andy Hamilton and Linda Smith. And facing them on my left, Alan Corran and Jeremy Hardy. Andy, which two candidates believe the sun shines out of a certain state's butt?
Right, well, this is America, gripped as it is by panic voting at the moment. And, the situation at the moment as we speak is that Bill Clinton will be serving a third term. He'll be the first president to ever do that, because it will take them at least 4 years to sort out all the recounts and legal challenges. But interestingly, I was reading, actually the Constitution, the US Constitution does cover this eventuality, and apparently if the deadlock can't be resolved, then Gore and Bush have to play scissors, paper, rock. Best out of three. But the Bush camp is protesting that their man would be at a disadvantage because of the complexity of the game. But I don't know, but I do feel that the American people have suffered enough now because of the choice they were given between basically Clinton stooge and the idiot son of a previous idiot. And if you want to try and grasp the full terror of it, the equivalent for us would be if the next election was fought between John Prescott and Mark Thatcher. or Tony Blair and William Hague. I mean, so we don't know, and I suspect it will drag on and on. How Gore lost him, I don't know. I think he lost the women's vote. Apparently there are 11 million women who didn't vote for him because they've been propositioned by Clinton. And the kiss as well. I think the kiss, the big kiss with Tipper Gore where he kind of engulfed her, I think that lost him a lot of women's votes because he thought the image he was giving out was, you know, an image of virility and dynamism. But I think all the women saw was a wife being suffocated.
Do we know why she's called Tipper?
Is it a biblical name, Tipper?
I do know the answer. As a child, she was known as Tippy Tippy Tiptoes.
Is that why?
I thought it was about a truck that goes up at one end.
That came later.
It is probably going to be Bush, though, isn't it? He probably only stood for election because he misunderstood. He thought it was an electrocution. I'm always up for one of them, he thought. They're a laugh.
George Bush has never been to Europe, apparently. I think that's right. He's never been to England. So the first state visit, he is going to be wandering around saying, oh, where is St. Westminster's Cathedral? And all
that. Sure is mighty small, ain't it?
Yes, it does seem now that George W. Bush will be the next president of the United States. Or if you're listening to the repeat, it does seem certain now that Al Gore will be the next president of the United States. So 2 points to Andy. Linda, what in truck's name was the mini budget all about?
Basically, the road hauliers that they weren't going to give in to, they have in fact given in to, and just given them everything, really. Said, OK, right, well, you can have... we're going to give you about £100 million to make your wagons more eco-friendly, because I know that as a group, road hauliers worry about the environment. And there's that. You can park your wagons outside Downing Street. I know it's very difficult parking in London. You can do that. If your wife needs any help fiddling the VAT, we'll help her. And basically, yeah, just capitulated to the road hauliers, and petrol's going to be a threepence a flagon, I believe. And but also the pensioners have got a bit, haven't they? The pensioners have got a bit of money, but not as much as the road hauliers, because apparently he wasn't as frightened of them as he was of the road hauliers. But I think that was a mistake on his part, because I think just as they've had this convoy with the road hauliers, I think the pensioners should have a great big sponsored ramble where they all start telling him stories that never seem to go anywhere. And I think he'll cave in quite quickly.
The pensioners have been having a long-running protest of driving extremely slowly, though, haven't they?
Actually, the police force of York could have ended this really at a stroke, because the policeman in York said, with this convoy thing the Hawleys are doing, oh, you can't come into the centre of York because it's all flooded. Now, if they'd have just kept quiet...
Alan, listen to this.
Diamonds are forever. They are all I need to please me. They can stimulate to tease me. They won't leave in the night. I've no fear that they might desert me.
I don't think you need a question, Alan, do you?
No. Strange thing is that they have been really so bad under that sequence of rat bags from Heseltine, Mandelson, Faulkner and all the rest, so bad at publicising the dome that I bet nobody here knew there were actually diamonds in it. It's the only thing anybody cared about. They got more diamonds. The diamonds are worth more than the dome. Anyway, blokes turned up with a JCB and smashed through the wall, and suddenly everyone was interested in the dome, and it occurred to me, possibly, that this was the salvation of the thing. Because we're really only interested in watching things like Crime Watch and those endless car chases where people get pulled over and knocked about or kicked by the police. And that's what the dome ought to be. There ought to be just villainy in it. They should have had Reggie's funeral there, really. And we could just pay and watch people burgling things and killing and raping and anything the British were in. But anyway, there was this huge... of course, it failed. Everything at the dome does fail. Silly arse. The diamonds have been switched anyway for glass stuff. I don't know where the real diamonds are now. You have to ask Faulkner. But in any event, it was a failed heist. There was even a bloke on a promontory monitoring police radio calls, and they got him as well. I mean, you sort of suspect that this is a bit of PR for the police, because they never get anything right at all normally.
No.
And do they?
I mean, no, they normally have a press conference after it's happened and say, now this man knows who he is.
But the still, of course, those 10 people did actually make that the best day's attendance this year.
Well, no, there were some. There were about 50 members of the public there, and they must have been quite frightening for them. But presumably, I mean, these raiders came in and set off smoke bombs. So presumably, all those people thought, oh, my God, Blair started to burn it down for the insurance. But I don't know if you saw the police spokesman, who was obviously very excited, who said, this was a very audacious robbery, thwarted by an even more audacious police operation. How many times do I get to use the word audacious?
The exact identity of the mastermind behind the terrible crime at Greenwich is being kept secret for the moment, but many are blaming a sinister underworld figure known only by his codename Mandelson. Jeremy, which court decision had drug companies sitting up and taking notice?
This is Viagra, the tablet form Charlotte Green. And... yeah, Huffman LaRoche, who was some Swiss people, tried to patent the male erection, and people said, no, come on, look, people, this has happened before, you know, the erection... For thousands of years, men have been having erections, and people like Huffman LaRoche, executives, you know, have them when someone says the word money, for example.
It wasn't actually Huffman LaRoche, it was the... drug manufacturers, Pfizer.
Oh, that's it. They're not Swiss, are they?
No, they're American.
Oh, same thing. Money-grabbing capitalist bastards.
But it was actually invented in Britain, wasn't it?
What?
Viagra was invented in Britain. Pfizer's...
Well, Tizer was invented in Britain. I was, that was a large bottle that went fizz when you turned the end, as I remember. Did you say Tizer?
Pfizer.
It was an experimental drug, wasn't it, for heart problems, and at the end of the trial, they noticed that none of the guinea pigs wanted to give their pills back. That is, as I understand it, might be true.
If you don't have an erection and you want to have one, the simple answer is to fall asleep with your flies open on a National Express coach. That advice for free. I don't even want a consultancy fee for that. It's my gift to you, the audience.
You want some sort of sponsorship deal from them? National Express.
Doesn't it? It probably doesn't have to be National Express. I don't know. It's all been deregulated now anyway, isn't it?
Doesn't this story raise the nightmare prospect of backstreet Viagra. People selling you stuff that they say is Viagra that actually turns out to be sherbet.
Yeah, but the good thing about Viagra is it can't lead you on to harder stuff.
Viagra's very dangerous, but a lot of people have dropped dead in America using Viagra, haven't they?
Have they?
Yeah. You look very worried there, Jeff.
People who bumped into someone who'd been taking it and...
I think it's mostly hip wound. I think it's mostly falls because their centre of gravity shifts. I think that's really
good. Good though if they're flipping a coin. It's...
What?
Banging nails in. I'm told.
So we start round two with a cutting from The Guardian.
Outside doors are to be fitted at a toilet block on Ilkley Moor, Yorkshire, to stop sheep from using it.
Thanks to Benny Taylor of Ashford for that. Andy, which super pests are getting the experts ratty?
This is my worried face.
We know this.
Isn't life funny? I was just thinking. Oh. It's super pets. I mean, is it people having rats as pets?
Nope.
Something as obvious as that? Do you know, Lynn? Resistant to the poison. Just tell me, Lynn, because I'm in that kind of state. Clues won't help. They're resistant to poison.
Well, that wasn't really a clue. I think that's more the answer.
That's good, because we cut out the middleman. My partner's going to... She knows the answer to this.
Well, I'm just guessing from your marvellously cryptic clue that it's rats, they don't... Poison is nothing to them. It's mother's milk to them now. They don't care. They just knock it back and say, can we have some more, please? And you can't kill them. You cannot kill a rat these days.
Landmines, that's what they need. The problem with rats is that if you've got cats, right, town cats who are fed on sort of, you know, luxury turbot singles from the Sainsbury's, they're dead soft. So they can catch a rat and then bring it in the house. And then once it's in the house, they just can't catch it again. And it goes running round, and it's this horrible Tom and Jerry scenario developed. And I thought, why is it that they can catch it in the undergrowth outside, but once it's at the out, they must have working class cats working as beaters in the garden. But they do, they bring this stuff in, and people say, oh, it's a present. I've had better stuff from godparents, honestly. I mean, the cat's seen what we eat. We eat pizza and sandwiches. We don't eat voles. There's wildlife that you don't realise is out there till you get a cat. They've brought in things I thought were mythical, like Pegasus they brought in one day. Didn't finish it. Its wings all broken. It's there whinnying. But one time they brought in this bird and didn't kill it, and I took it down to the vets there, you see. And there's this sort of very camp, militant Australian vet who said... You see, the best thing that happens is you want to finish an animal off, the most humane, quick way to do it is just put it under the wheel of your car and drive over it. And I thought, well, it's just going to hop out the way, isn't it? And you're going backwards and forwards, and all the neighbours say, look at that idiot Hardy, can't park, can he? Look at that. It's going to go hopping down the road, I'm after it, and people will think it's a new countryside pursuit of run over the maimed sparrow in the mini. Which we've been doing for hundreds of years, and the sparrows enjoy it, and it's more humane than beating them to death with pool cues.
I know the way to kill a rat, apparently. The quickest way to kill a rat is to bite it on the back of the neck. Yeah. You've got to get quite close to the rat.
You need a level of cooperation
there that the rat might not be prepared to give. But tell your cat that.
I give 2 points to Andy for getting the answer, and 1 point to Jeremy for telling us all how to kill rats with our bare teeth. With our bare
ties. Bare hands, I tell you.
Linda, your piece of music.
A circle and a spiral, a wheel within a wheel, never ending or beginning on an ever spinning wheel, as the images unwind, like the circles that you find in the windmills of your mind.
Actually doesn't sound as if he was really the singer. That sounds as if he was hearing it on the radio and singing along.
Who came a cropper when his corny ideas failed to run rings round the scientists?
This is this chap who thought he'd prove that corn circles were not real. And so he went out and did this very elaborate one with 9 points or something weird. And so he thought this would prove once and for all, because he said, the public were being duped. Well, I don't think the public were being duped. It was probably him and, like, two wizards in the Glastonbury area and that bloke Reg who used to be in the Trogs. So he did this, and he got done for criminal damage to the corn. But you see, what he did not explore, I think, is the possibility... OK, he says it's a hoax, these corn circles. But had he thought possibly it was a hoax done by aliens? Yeah. Because the documentary evidence we have of aliens, which is the Cadbury Smash people... they like a laugh. Yeah. So I think it's an alien hoax.
That would explain everything, wouldn't it? That would explain those long lines in the middle of Arizona desert. They just come down and say, put these down, see what they make of this.
Clearly, they are a most primitive people.
I think we overestimate them, aliens. They might be quite good with engines, but be really stupid. So they come down to Earth at night, say, a bit quiet, but now, are a bit quiet. So let's leave a note then for them humans. Now we just walk around the big circling field, I reckon.
Twitter-9-year-old computer programmer Matthew Williams became the first person to be fined in a court for creating a crop circle hoax. Scientists in America still claim that aliens have actually landed in the USA, but they left again after asking, take me to your leader, until they wouldn't get a reply for 4 years. Alan, what the dickens is the matter with our money?
Matter with our money? And Dickens? Mm,
Dickens, yeah.
Is it forgeries with Dickens' head? Dickens on one of the notes, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
They're producing a new note.
Yes.
Which you can only see through a microscope or something. And it has... I know what it's got. It's got a hologram of someone, Oliver Twist, or someone on it. I'm going to put my glasses on and see whether you're looking at me the way I think you're looking at me.
Well, I'll give you 1 point for groping towards it, but has anyone got the right answer?
Did they get rid of Dickens?
They got rid of Charles
Darwin on.
Precisely. Well, they've both got very curly beards, but Darwin's is even curlier.
It's so harder to forge.
Yes.
Well, then, Father Christmas would have been the best one.
Dickens supporters said of the new note they hadn't seen anything so ridiculous on the back of a tenner since Luciano Pavarotti stopped modelling for Versace.
Why does he always hold a hanky, that big singer? Pavarotti.
Because he's got a sandwich in it.
I'll give 1 point to Alan and 1 point to somebody else. Julia, take your pick. Before we start the final round, here's an item from the Cumberland and Westmoreland Herald.
Members of the Pennine Young Farmers Club attended their first meeting of the season at Gaythorne Hall, where Stephen Lord showed members around the farm and the hairy man's hole.
Thanks to Pamela Cowie of Appleby for that. Andy, listen to this.
Come a little bit closer, baby. Get it on, cos tonight is the night when two become one. I need some love, I've never needed love before.
Andy, why was there much ado about nothing when Tony Blair unveiled his interference in people's private lives?
Oh, I panicked there. this is... The government have said that they're bringing out leaflets and videos saying that marriage is best.
Yes.
Because married people are happy and more social, and obviously single people are spawn of the devil. So they're going to make what I suspect are going to be fairly revolting public information films where people talk about the wonders of marriage. And, that's roughly it.
Yes.
The thing that men say when they get married, they always say, do you know, since I became a married man, I find I'm suddenly so much more attractive to other women. Yeah. And it's only because their wives bought them some decent clothes.
It's true. find married people, you know, misery loves company. They're always trying to encourage you to get married if you're not married. And then the next thing they do is they assume that you, as a child-free person, are inevitably going to have kids. So they'll be changing some stinking nappy and look at you and say, oh, you've got all this to come. And I always say, no, when my boyfriend's incontinent, he's going straight in a home.
The government's published a new booklet called Married Life to be issued to all newlyweds. The guide includes approval of traditions like something old, something new, something borrowed, something blue, which, of course, has been New Labour policy for years now. Linda, who believes you can have your sheep and eat it?
Well, Simon, if you'd just read the papers, you wouldn't have to keep asking us.
Right, 2 points to you. I do know the answer, you're quite right. Jeremy.
It's this Italian adopt a sheep scheme, isn't it? This thing in Italy where you adopt a sheep. I mean, I think it'd be better if other sheep adopted them because they lose their culture otherwise. I think. But you can adopt a sheep and then eat it. Now, this makes me feel the social services are nodding on the job a bit here. Because it doesn't sound right at all. Now, apparently you can do this over the internet. You adopt the sheep and they send you all its sheepy produce, even the droppings, I suppose, because that makes you feel more like you've got a real child if your house is up to your knees in ordure. But and then if you don't like the cheese, then they kill it for you and you eat the sheep. It's not very nice, is it? So that's what this is, yeah.
How do you send sheep's droppings over the internet?
It's amazing what they can do now.
Do you have to use the scanner?
You do. You scan them in. If it's a colour scanner, all the better.
There's all kinds of shit on the internet.
And what if the sheep wants to know who its natural parents are? It's a rather sad scene, ringing on the doorbell of some sheep and saying, you don't know me, but...
To be honest, Andy, you could just point at any sheep and they would believe you. That one there, third from the left in that field, that's your mum.
Organic farmer Manuela Cozza in Italy is offering customers a chance to adopt a sheep on the internet and then eat it on the plate. If you want to see a sheep going around aimlessly, go to any kebab stall in the West End. Alan, whose addiction could really grow on them?
God. Gotta shift some synapses aside and make a bit of room here. Get me a bit nearer, Simon. I can see
very indirectly.
Half bits of headline
grow.
In my head.
What? Grow.
I think it's gardening.
Yes.
I think there's you can become addicted to gardening.
Yes.
That's what it was. Yes. God. It's extraordinary. I just felt a lot of brain cells fall off the side of my head there. Gardening, you can become obsessed by gardening and it can become addictive and you can spend your life craving decking and tweaking parts of Charlie Dimmock and never have a restful night again. And it's all to do with all these makeover programs about people coming in and doing pots and hanging bastards and all those things. And people are spending a great deal of money wandering around garden centres and going broke just as if it were a hard drug.
I think the real worry is that the research shows that gardening leads on to cooking. I can't believe this is serious. Was this serious research, or was it...
Was it the University of Bremen?
So it wasn't.
It's German research.
The German research, Alan.
Is Bremen a real place? I thought it was just in fairy tales. It's like the musicians of Bremen, isn't it, when they all poke their heads in through the window and... I quite like gardening. No fuchsia for me.
Before we reveal the final...
You want to sack a fisherman's friend?
Jen, who's that supposed to be?
Viscount Linley.
Very good. It's uncanny.
Before we reveal the final scores, let's hear the cuttings the teams have brought along. Andy.
Well, I'm grateful to Lady Wallace, aristocratic submission here. And it's an advertisement that makes you wonder what real-life story accompanied it. It says, garden shredder in perfect working order due to owner's death.
Linda.
Ah, my thanks to Karen Pidgeon for sending this in from the Worthing Advertiser. A motorist who was asked to take a breathalyzer test tried to eat his underwear in the hope that the cotton fabric would absorb the alcohol in his blood. The 18-year-old driver was spotted weaving down the highway and, after being arrested, tore the crutch out of his pants and attempted to eat them. A group of schoolchildren observing the case in court had to leave the room, unable to stop laughing as the testimony was read out.
Jeremy.
This was given to me by my friend Len Mulholland, who's a journalist, and it's from the Washington Post, who published a contest in which the readers were asked to supply alternate meanings for various words. And here are some of them. The verb esplanade, to attempt an explanation while drunk. The adjective negligent describes a condition in which you absent-mindedly answer the door in your nightie. Lymph, verb to walk with a lisp. Coffee, noun, person who is coughed upon. Testicle, a humorous question in an exam. Rectitude, the formal, dignified demeanour assumed by a proctologist immediately before he examines you. Oyster, a person who sprinkles his conversation with Yiddish expressions. Circumvent, the opening in the front of boxer shorts.
Alan.
Oh, I can't follow any of that. It's from this week's People magazine. It says, relaxologist Daniel Morton advises everyone to spend at least half an hour every day in the starfish configuration, flat on their backs, with arms outstretched and legs apart. He says proudly, it worked for the Duchess of York and it will work for you.
Here are the final scores. Andy and Linda have 15 points, but Alan and Jeremy, this week's winners, with 18 points. And before we leave you, here's a plug for the best of the News Quiz tape, now on sale at all good bookshops. Also, here's a news bulletin heard on Radio 3 by Shannon O'Hara.
The Prime Minister, Tony Blair, is to visit parts of the country damaged by floods. He'll go to Shrewsbury, Bewdley and Tewkesbury. People in Worcester have been told to prepare for the worst.
With that, thank you and goodbye.
Taking part in the news quiz were Alan Corrin, Andy Hamilton, Jeremy Hardy and Linda Smith. The chairman was Simon Hoggart and the news is read by me, Charlotte Green. The chairman's script was written by George Poles, Lev Fountain, Tom Jameson and Dave Cohen. And the producer was Lucy Armitage.